Welcome to BookSpeak on Indiana Public Radio, a chance for members of our audience to review a book on the air.
My name is Bruce Galehood from Muncie. In his book, Fordlandia, The Rise and Fall of Henry Ford's Jungle City, historian Greg Grandin tells the story of the Ford Motor Company's effort to carve a rubber plantation out of the Brazilian rainforest in the 1920s and 1930s. Driven by an urge to guarantee his company a self-sufficient supply of rubber for his burgeoning auto empire, Henry Ford spent millions of dollars in an ultimately unsuccessful attempt to create not only a new industrial enterprise deep in South America, but also a model community forged on the social principles that he advocated back in Dearborn, Michigan. Grandin is well qualified to write this absorbing, unique story. A professor of history at New York University, Grandin is a Latin American specialist with a number of outstanding books to his credit. In writing this account, he relies on the well-known published books about Henry Ford and his company. For closer examination of the Brazilian venture, however, Grandin did extensive research in primary sources in the Benson Ford Research Collection, including reminiscences from such individuals as Ernest Liebold and Ford Bryan, men who knew Henry Ford personally and offered insights about his ambitions for the Brazilian venture. He also researched several important internal company studies that dealt with the Fordlandia experiment. Grandin provides a masterful explanation for the failure of Fordlandia and the company's decision to abandon the effort shortly after World War II. As an economic and social experiment, Fordlandia appeared almost doomed from its outset, the victim of the inhospitability of the Brazilian rainforest for large-scale rubber production, as well as the inherent cultural tensions that existed between Ford's experienced managers and the Brazilian laborers who performed the work at Fordlandia. To his credit, Grandin repeatedly points out how Ford's miscalculations, ranging from a lack of knowledge about the climate and topography of the rainforest and the unpredictability of Brazil's political and business elite, led to continued frustrations on the scene in spite of the Herculean efforts of his men who were attempting to create a viable business enterprise. Especially interesting is Grandin's account of how Ford believed that he could rely on the managerial talents of his managers at his facilities in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, men who had presided over the conquest of the region's vast forest and bitter climate to create iron and lumbering operations in pleasant small towns, to move to Brazil to take command of Fordlandia. Grandin's book combines the attributes of business history, environmental history, and Latin American history coherently. The result is a lively account of one of industrial America's most ill-fated ventures, and Grandin is yet another author who has found much to be learned in the life and business career of Henry Ford. I'm Bruce Galehood for BookSpeak.
Thomas Cahill is like the history professor you always wished you'd get. He makes you want to learn more. He's the only author I know whose bibliographies are fun to read. I just finished reading Desire of the Everlasting Hills, which is part of Cahill's series called The Hinges of History. Desire of the Everlasting Hills is about Jesus of Nazareth and his place in Western culture, both before and after his life. In the book, Cahill sets the historical background for Jesus' life and teachings and traces the history of the gospel accounts in the early Christian church, and he also paints the most vivid picture of Paul that I've ever read. It's a great, wide subject to try to cover in 300 or so pages, and the admittedly incomplete result is like a great lecture series that opens a graduate-level seminar. It gives you a solid framework on which you're going to hang all the stuff you go and get and read on your own. The topics get esoteric in the book, but Cahill's writing doesn't get preachy or elevated. As one reviewer puts it, he has, quote, thought vigorously, unquote, and he makes things at once understandable and more rich in meaning at the very same time. Like this passage considering the Sermon on the Mount. Quote, it's one thing to tell people that they may not murder one another without losing their own lives, but it is quite another to say that we may not even dress someone down or make fun of him or exclude him from our midst, or hellfire may be the consequence. And don't look on a woman with lust? Earth to Jesus? Hello? No, that's really in the text going on. In a world where Alexander the Great was the supreme icon, ideas like turn the other cheek and love your enemies must have struck many as positively hilarious. Certainly in the atmosphere of first century Judea, where the brutal examples of the Seleucids, the Caesars, and the Hasmoneans held the cultural spotlight, this advice would have sounded even more unrealistic than it does to us. Cahill jokes, he deflates, he wears his substantial erudition lightly, at least most of the time. Thomas Cahill's Desire of the Everlasting Hills and the Hinges of History series, the best high-level history course that I never had. For BookSpeak, I'm Marcus Jackman.
Support for BookSpeak comes from Toyota and Scion of Muncie and Ivy Tech Community College.